So I want to open up by taking a look at the words of the Sefer HaChinuch. You had a chance to look at this Bechavrusa. We left off with this last time. Mysterious. Mysterious. Yesh Misha Amru in Mitzvah Shinvav, the Mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. In the middle of his discussion of the Dina at Mitzvah. Yesh Misha Amru Shemisha Shachach V'lamana Yom Echad She'enu Yachol Limnos Od Be'osa Shana. The Halachas Gedolos said, you missed a day, you can't continue counting. Shekul mitzvah chazin. It's all one big mitzvah. Kim shoshacha mehen yom echad, right? Kol ha-cheshben batel menu. If you missed a day, the whole cheshben is lost. You can't keep counting. So that's the position of the Hag. So far, doesn't look like there are great chidushim. We've seen this in Tosus. We've seen this in the Rosh. The Chinuch is coin as well. V'lo hodu morenu shebedorenu l'svarazu. But our Rabbeim in this generation, whoever that is, again, maybe the Rabban, the Rajba, don't agree to this svar. Instead, if you missed a day, what you ought to do the next night, let's say I missed 16, and then it comes the night of the 17th, and I say, I didn't count last night, I didn't count today, I missed 16. So what do you say, says the Sefer HaChinuch? Don't worry, and just say, last night was 16. Below bracha, you don't make a bracha yet. You say, last night was 16, and then it sounds like you make a bracha, and say, tonight is 17. U'mona ha'chirim kol Yisrael. You're going to count the rest of that night, and the rest of the days going forward, with the rest of the Jewish people. We had left off last time, there are two problems in the Sefer HaChinuch. The truth is, there aren't two problems, there are three. The two that we had last time, number one, what do you mean, emesh hayukach, below bracha? What's the point of counting yesterday? But without a bracha. Is he not saying, you can be yotzei 16 by counting the next night? Okay. So then what are you doing? I should say, yesterday I didn't shake lulav, but now let me shake lulav. What's the point of saying, what's like a vidui, and be mezvada, it's his tshuva? Or is it sphere of sa'omer? Well, what do you mean that I'm going to say what I didn't say last night, yesterday? And number two, what do you mean? Mona achirim kol Yisrael. Count the rest with all the Jewish people. All mitzvahs you're doing with the Jewish people. Okay, but I'm shaking lulav with the Jewish people. I'm eating matzah with the Jewish people. Oh, what's he driving at? And this is a third kasha, which we didn't highlight last time. Now they have the chance to look at the Sefer HaChinuch more carefully. You always have to ask yourselves, Rabbi Osai, many of you have been trained by Rabbi in early years to ask yourselves, how does the answer answer the question? What is going on here? He just quoted the Bahag, says, oh, it's one big mitzvah, and therefore, you miss a night, you're out. Okay, we've heard such things. But then what does this mean? So if it's one big mitzvah, you miss a night, you're out. So the answer is no, count yesterday's. How does that respond to the question issue of one big mitzvah or not? Because there's like a disconnect here. It's like a funny disconnect. So there's something going on, and the Sefer HaChinuch may hold the key to developing a second approach to be understanding and being miyashev the Bahag. Again, last time we had seen the Rav's first approach that Pshat the Bahag is it's one big mitzvah before nine ma'isim. And each ma'aseh gets a new bracha, but basically it's one big mitzvah. Okay. Maybe there's another way that the Chinuch gets us thinking. Something's going on. Even in the way that he disagrees with the Bahag, he seems to be pointing to, we have to understand more about the Bahag, because we don't understand how he's disagreeing with him, and how is this a response? So I want to take a look. Let's look together at this Magen Avraham. Some of you had a chance to see Magen Avraham inside. Some of you saw the way the Mishnah Berurah quotes him. Here on HebrewBooks.org, as I've pointed out to some of you guys in the past, when you go to beta.HebrewBooks.org, you see on top, you have access not only to Tzuras HaDaf of Gemara, you have access to Tzuras HaDaf of Rambam and Tur and Shulchan Aruch, which is a major boon. So here we are. Shulchan Aruch says, Tav Beites, Bilel Sheni. The second, because he's been going through this point, he's going through this point, Hilchas Pesach, Shulchan is going through the Seder at Tefillah. So you see, Taf Beches was Shachar Shal Pesach. What, this is the first time that the Shulchan had gone up to Yontif Davening, because the Yontif part starts from Nisan and works its way through Adar. So it takes you through how Yad Davening works on a Yontif morning, and the two Svarim, and so on, is what you lay, and so on and so forth. And that you stop saying Geshem to the end of Taf Beches. Here are Taf Beches. Seder Tefillah Zel Sheni Shal Pesach U Sfiras Omer. Right? So this is Halachas Sfiras Omer Siman Taf Beches. The Halachas of the second night of Pesach. Lel Sheni Achar Tefillah Arvis Maschil Lispar Omer. Mishachach Lispar Betchilas Halayla Holach V'Sofer Kol Halayla. You forgot to count at the beginning of the night. You count throughout the night. U mitzvah kol echad ve'echad lispar. A mitzvah for everyone, every single Jew, has a mitzvah to count. That's based on a Gemara. Right? That you saw, that's this Gemara's Hamachem Beis. Mitzvah usfartem. The Gemara quotes a Braisa usfartem tells me, mitzvah kol echad ve'echad lispar. So that's what he quotes. But the Magen Avraham has an interesting comment. What does that mean to count yourself? As opposed to what? I mean, mitzvah, again, it's not really Shulchan Aruch, it's the Braisa, Menachas HaMachay. What does that mean, mitzvah to each person to count? As opposed to, what would you have thought otherwise? Only Kohanim have to count. Only if you're over 30, you have to count. Only if you're under 20, the truth is, Pashup Shat is that it means as opposed to Chovas Hatzibur. The other time, when is there another mitzvah? Let's turn off the share for a moment. When is the other mitzvah of counting seven sevens to get to 49 and then to get to the 50? When else do you have such a mitzvah? Right. Shemitah and Yovel. All right, so Shemitah and Yovel also is a mitzvah of sphere. V'safarta l'cha. The V'safarta l'cha, who counts? That's not every Jew. It's based in. Klal Yisrael counts. That's why that's, as the Vilna Gaon points out there, it's singular. V'safarta. Because the Chovas HaTzibur, Chovas HaRabim. In case you're wondering, it seems a little bit counterintuitive. Chovas HaRabim is Lashon Yachid. But that makes perfect sense. Because it's not each Jew who has to count. Chovas HaTzibur, Chovas HaRabim means the Jewish people as a unit count. So if it's Safar to Lacha, it's you singular. Because at that point, Rabbi Shalom is speaking to the entire Jewish people as one. So that's singular. V'safarta l'cha, you Jewish people, single Jewish people, you have to count. How do the Jewish people count? Where's the Jewish people's mouth? The answer is, well, that's the role of the Beis Nagadol. The Beis Nagadol Sanhedrin, the central Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash. So in addition to being the judiciary body that judges cases, they're also a representative body in the sense of representing and acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So Sfiras Shanim Lishmita, Sfiras Shanim Liyovel, V'Safarta Lacha, that's a Chovas HaTzibur. Only Beis Din counts. You and I don't have to count. It's like Kiddush Levana. I don't mean Kiddush Levana, the Bracha. I mean Kiddush HaChodesh. I'm sorry, not Kiddush Levana. Kiddush HaChodesh. Or Ibra HaShana. And declaring Rosh Chodesh, declaring Shanim Uberes, that's not something that every Jew does for himself. The Sanhedrin takes care of that for Klal Yisrael. So counting years to Shemitah to Yovel, Sanhedrin takes care of that for Klal Yisrael. So Pashup Shat, when the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Gemara, the Sfira Sa'omer is Usfartem Lachem, that's plural, and Mitzvah Kol Echa V'Echa, therefore each individual Jew has to count. Pashup Shat, it means, just as the Chovas HaYachid. That even though Sfiras HaOmer leads to Shavuos, but it's not just for the Beis Din, it's for every Jew to count to Shavuos. That's the Pashup Shat. If you take a look at the Magen Avraham, he has a whole new layer of meaning here. Let's turn the share screen back on. Let's take a look together at this Magen Avraham. What does the Magen Avraham say? Lispar liatzmo sifkan beis in the Magen Avraham im yirtze. Shomea habracha mehashatz. The sofer liatzmo. If you want to, you can be hear the bracha from the shatz, from the chazan, and then count yourself. The chala bracha zafa pishu ubaki yotze b'shatz chutzmi. Maybe Birkas HaTorah, Kriyashma, Tefillah. In general, you can be Yotze with a bracha, except for Birkas HaMazon. Birkas HaMazon, Gemara and Brachas tells us, unless you have a Zimun, you have to say yourself, if you know how to say yourself. And Kriyashma, Tefillah, there are certain cases we don't rely on Shemei HaKa'ona, but in general, you can rely on Shemei HaKa'ona for a bracha, even though you know how to say it yourself. Like Kiddush. But Chassidim, often the minig is that every man at the meal makes his own Kiddush. But in general, the more widely accepted practice is one person says Kiddush and everyone is Yotze. I know how to say Kiddush myself, that's fine. Shomea Ka'ona. So that's the he's quoting from a Tshuvas HaRashba. That if you want to, you could be Yotze with the Bracha of the Chazan. The Bracha of the Chazan. You could be Yotze with the Chazan's Bracha if you want to, and then count yourself. So that's he sees him in the brackets. The Rashba B'Tshuva. Tshuvas HaRashba. He says, oh, Ayin Simon Nuntes, take a look in Hilchas. Earlier in Aruch Chaim, Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas, Kriyashma, but not among Avraham comment. 1 second. There's a clear diak to me in the Rashba. Harei desvir le dal kapam tach shi yispar biatzmo. So he seems told that you have to count yourself. You can both say with the Asher, the al svir asa omer, the bracha of the chazam, but then the counting has to be yourself. Krosh kasa b'gemaru svartem, shtei svir al chalecha v'yechad. Like lulav or lakachtem lekichol chalecha v'yechad. That's interesting. You have to count yourself. You can't be yotze with someone else's counting. Now again, by lulav, the same language lakachtem lachem lekichol chalecha v'yechad. But by lulav, the obvious difference we could have thought between lulav and sfira is that sfira is verbal and lulav is with your hands. So of course, there's no idea of Shomea Ka'one by Lulav. I'm listening to you shake your Lulav. Of course, if they miss it to hold the Lulav, I have to do it myself. If it's a Chovas HaYachid, I have to use my hands. But by Sfira Sa'omer, even if it's a Chovas HaYachid, okay, so I can't just rely on the fact that Sanhedrin is taking care of it 500 miles away. I have to take care of myself. Good, I'll take care of it by listening to you. Like Kiddush. Kiddush is also Chovas HaYachid. It's not enough that the rabbi makes Kiddush, not enough that Sanhedrin makes Kiddush. Every Jew has a personal chi of Kiddush. But I could be Yotze, my personal chi of Kiddush, by listening to you. Shomea Ka'ona. That's how I am being Yotze. So Magen Avraham points out, if you read the Rashba, it sounds like there's no Shomea Ka'ona by Sfira Sa'omer. I could be Yotze Shomea Ka'ona with your bracha, Asher Kishon Sosa Vitzivan Sfira Sa'omer, but the actual act of Sfira, the counting, Hayom Shnei Yamin Ba'omer, Hayom Shloshim Yom, no can do. No Shemei Ka'ona. Why? Because of, that's how the Rashba, the Magen Avraham points out, that's how this Tshuvas HaRashba's understanding, Usvartem, Sfir L'Chalech V'Yechad. It says the Beis Yosef writes, namely the Rashba, are Yosef with this Shiach Tzibur's counting, but it's Tzarech Iyun. Magen Avraham says, no. Okay, so he says, well, maybe yes. Maybe you could be Yotze Shemei Ka'ona, maybe not. That's the issue, the first of the two issues that Magen Avraham raises. Is maybe you cannot be Yotze with Shomei Ka'ona. Of course, the question is, why on earth not? Well, why is this different than any other verbal mitzvah? Shomei Ka'ona works. And then, the Magen Avraham says, let's take a look at something else. He says, look, you know, there's a Gemara, a Mishnah Megillah, and a Gemara. Let's take a look at that together right now. Megillah Daf Yud Zayin. Here we are. A Mishnah Megillah Dav Yud Zayin. Here we are. The Mishnah is at the beginning of the second parak of Megillah. The Mishnah says, "Kores Megillah Mafreya, Kra Peh, Kra Targum, Bechal Lashon Lo Yotze." If I read the Megillah in translation, I'm not Yotze. Aval, Korinos Alilozos Belaz. But you can read it in foreign language for foreign language speakers. Laz is foreign language, like Rashi will say Belaz. For Loazos, you can read it Belaz. You just told me that you cannot read in translation. Now you say you can. So the Gemara explains, well, it depends. I can read it in French for a Frenchman. Koronos Alilozos Belaz. If you speak French, then you can read the Megillah in French. But I don't speak French. I can read the Megillah in English, but not in French, because I don't understand the language. So that's the rule. Foreign language, you can be Yotze if it is a language you understand. But then the Mishnah goes on to say, Haloes Shishama Shuris Yatza. Someone who only speaks a foreign language, if you hear it in Hebrew, you're still Yotze. So that's generally the rule. That's generally the rule. Again, we saw earlier in the year, in the first mission, the seventh parak of Sota says, there are some mitzvahs you just cannot be Yotze in translation at all. Duchening has to be in the original Hebrew, for instance. You cannot be Yotze Duchening in translation. Okay. But the Mishnah says there's a long list of mitzvahs you can be Yotze in translation. And when you can be Yotze in translation, the rule is, as we just saw in Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, you can be Yotze in translation if it's a language that you understand. Masha Enokei in Hebrew is a free pass. You can be always Yotze in Hebrew. So for instance, I can bench in Hebrew. I can daven Shmona Esrei in Hebrew, even if I don't know what the words mean. Not ideal, clearly. Not ideal. Maybe the first bracha you need the Kavanas, Pirush, Amilas, Ma'akev. But basically, I can be Yotze, I will be Yotze in the original Hebrew. If I say the original Hebrew words, I'm Yotze automatically. But if I say it in English, if I say it in Sanskrit, I say it in Portuguese, I say it in Latin, I say it in Arabic, then it only works if I understand that language. So Hebrew, automatically Yotze. Translation, if I know that language. That's usually the rule. Megillah Daf Yud Zayin by Megillah, and that's the rule by benching, that's the rule by Shmona Esrei. Yes, you can say in translation if you know that language. But Hebrew, you're always Yotze. That's the rule. And to every rule, there is an exception. And here is our exception. Not surprisingly, the exception is Sfiras HaOmer. Let's take a look back in the Magen Avraham. So here we are. So Magen Avraham said at the very bottom of the page. Here we are in the middle of Sifkat and Beis, we left off before. Upashat. Last few lines in the Magen Avraham. This on the page of the Magen Avraham. Upashat de muter lispar b'chol lashon. Of course you can count in any language. You don't have to say it in Hebrew. You can just say today is 17 days to the Omer, which is 2 weeks and 3 days. Totally Yotze in any language. V'davka b'lashon shemaven. You can count in English if you know English. Okay. If you know French, feel free to count in French. I don't know French. So if I do not know French, I cannot count in French. But now, so far, no surprises. But here we go. Vim eino. Turn to the next page. Among the Ram. Vim eino maven lashon hakodesh. Visafar belashon hakodesh. Lo yotza. If you don't know Hebrew and you count it in Hebrew, you're not Yotze. Tell you that my karma, because you don't know what you're talking about. That's not a sphere. You're not counting. So Magen Avraham says, to count in Hebrew, if you don't know Hebrew, if you don't know what the words mean, don't bother counting Hebrew. You must count in English. Now, why is that surprising? Someone tell me, why is that surprising? Based on what we just saw on Maseches Megillah. Exactly. Oh, Givaldik. So Asher and DJ are saying, we just said the rule is Hebrew always works. Hebrew is the free pass. All of a sudden here we said Hebrew is nothing special. So one after another, We're coming across these strange situations where in a single Magen Avraham, Sfira Sotomer is an outlier in two ways. On the one hand, Shamea Ka'one, and on another front, Lashon HaKodesh. Normally, Shamea Ka'one works by verbal mitzvahs. All of a sudden, the Magen Avraham said, not so sure Shamea Ka'one works. Right? This is in simple reading the Rajba, in the Tshuva, Shamea Ka'one doesn't work. Beisosis thinks it does, but the Magen Avraham thinks very likely not. He's not 100% sure, but and you saw the Mishnah Berurah quotes the other Achronim along these lines. So that's one issue, Shamea Ka'one. Right. So one issue is, let's move this over, right? One issue is, no. Shamei Ka'ona. That's number one. What's going on? Why is this different when it comes to Shamei Ka'ona? Why would Shomei Kona not work? Number two, why would Hebrew not work if you don't understand? Right? Then we have the question from before. Right? We look at the Sefer Achinuch, and he had raised this idea of counting. Mentioning yesterday. So I'm mentioning yesterday and Imkal Yisrael, that's somehow going to change things. And how is that a solution to the Bahag? And I say, I ask you to take a look at the Be'er Halacha. The Be'er Halacha quotes several Gaonim Rishonim, who had a similar idea as what the Sefer HaChinuch quotes, that somehow by mentioning yesterday, you're going to solve your problem. So let's top it all off, and then this will help us to make sense of this with what the Dvar Avraham raises. The Dvar Avraham, as some of you had a chance to see during Seder, the Dvar Avraham talks about Sveika D'Yamina. He begins with a practical halacha l'maisa shaila. The Dvar Avraham was bothered, not bothered, someone asked him a shaila. Says the fellow, this is in, as you saw in the Mar Mukama, so if you look it up on HebrewBooks.org, Chelak Alf Simon Lama Dalad. I mentioned to you before we were getting started, we were starting in the morning, who the Dvar Avraham was, a Kavna Rav, who gave smicha to the Rav, to Rav Yosheh Ber Salvechik. I think I mentioned to you earlier today, the Rav had come to meet the Kavna Rav's daughter to go out. And it didn't work out with a daughter, but he forged a very substantive learning relationship with Dvar Avraham. So much so that Dvar Avraham gave him smicha and a glowing, singular smicha. Halacha kamos b'chol makom. So the Dvar Avraham, the Kavna Rav, was asked, "What happens? You have a Jew who is in an entirely non-Jewish context, and he's forgotten what day of Sfira it is. He's lost track." As if he was in a Jewish community, so ask someone else, look in a luach. But he has no someone else. I imagine, I'm not sure, maybe, you know, you imagine a Jew who was drafted into the Russian army, sent to the Japanese front, something like that. He's in a place, or for whatever reason, he's in an entirely non-Jewish context. He's lost track of the days. What do you do? As Dvar Avraham points out, the truth is this shaila came up for centuries. Right? The Mishnayos tell us in Maseches Rosh Hashanah that what do they do in the Bayis Sheni with communicating Kiddush HaChodesh during the period of the Bayis Rishon? So we assume that all the Jews lived right in or maybe perhaps immediately next to Eretz Yisrael. But the Jews come back to build the Beis HaMikdash. Most of them did not come back to build the Beis HaMikdash. So as it says in Sefer Ezra Nehemiah, most Jews stayed in Babel. Only a minority of Jews came back there. And Jews were spread and began to spread further and further to other areas around the Mediterranean, both north and south. There were Jews in Turkey, there were Jews in North Africa. Over time, there were Jews in Europe. There were Jews in India. And how all these Jews, even the Jews in Babel, how are they going to know when it's Rosh Chodesh? They're no longer living adjacent, in proximity to the Sanhedrin on Gadol in Yerushalayim. So the Mishnayos tell us that initially, during the early part of the Bayis Sheni period, they had that beautiful system of torches. And within minutes, the news of Kiddush HaChodesh would travel from Eretz Yisrael to Babel and beyond. It's a very efficient system, almost at the speed of light, so to speak. But the Mishnayos tell us that as the period of the Bayis Sheni progressed, there was an increasing problem of needing verification. The Tzedukim were interested in tampering with the data, the Kiddush HaChodesh data, because they wanted to get, it all comes back to Sefiras Omer. They wanted Mimachar HaShabbos, they wanted Pesach to fall on Shabbos, so that the second day of Pesach would be a Sunday, and Shavuos would be a Sunday, what the Christians later picked up on. Easter is a Sunday, and Pentecost is a Sunday. So because the Tzedukim were trying to manipulate Kiddush HaChodesh, they would send their own false signals. Now the incredible strength of the torches is their speed, their efficiency. You can cover hundreds of miles in a matter of minutes. The problem is you're looking 20 miles away at someone waving a torch on a mountain. You can't see who that is. Is that the official Shliach Beis Din, or is that some Tzeduki imposter who's waving a torch to make you think that it's Rosh Chodesh? So at some point during the Bayis Sheni period, they realized that the Tzeduki were becoming an increasing problem. The Mishnah says, once the Epikursim, the Tzedukim, began to make trouble, so they realized they needed a method of communication that was verifiable. So they needed to actually send human shluchim to physically visit communities and come with a message of Beis Din. So that either they would be coming with a shtar that you could verify came from Sanhedrin HaGadol, or the community recognizes shliach, we know him. He's the honest, authentic shliach. If someone else shows up, we're going to ask for his bona fides. We'll make sure he's not a tzeduki. But once they needed this, when they had this need for verification, what they gained by sending an actual human shliach by horseback, by camelback, whatever it is, you gain in terms of verification, but obviously you lose incredibly in terms of efficiency. Instead of the information traveling hundreds of miles in minutes, it's going to travel hundreds of miles in a couple of weeks. You're not going to arrive in time for Pesach. You're not going to arrive in time for Sukkot. So Jews are now going to be hitting Pesach, not knowing is Pesach yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Right? What 2 weeks ago, when were the Mekadesh the Chodesh? When does Sukkot start? And that's the source of Sveika D'Yoma. All Sveika D'Yoma ultimately comes back, ironically, to Sefiras HaOmer. Because the Sefiras HaOmer, which drove the Tzedukim to make trouble because of their misinterpretation of Mechas HaShabbos, which drove in turn the need for actually sending human messengers, which created the time lag that drives Sveika D'Yoma. So from the middle of the period of the Bayis Sheni up until the end of the Sanhedrin, around the year 350 or so, 400, the Rambam says it was during the lifetime of Abai and Rav and Bavel, Hillel HaSheni was the last Nasi of Sanhedrin in Eretz Yisrael. So for those couple of centuries, there was real Sveika D'Yoma. Jews really didn't, outside of Eretz Yisrael, really didn't know when was Rosh Chodesh. You had to wait for the messenger to show up. Is it going to be Tuesday or Wednesday? Right. What was Rosh Chodesh 2 weeks ago, Tuesday or Wednesday? That's going to drive, is Pesach starting this week, Tuesday or Wednesday? So that's why. And then the Gemara says, in days of Abai and Rava, they asked the Shaila to Eretz Yisrael, now that you have a fixed calendar, do we still keep Sveika D'Yoma? Said, yeah. Minigav HaSeichem Be'edechem. You continue to practice in the Chutz Arts the way you practice when you had a real Suffolk. That's why we still have 2 days of the first, 2 days of Pesach at the beginning, 2 days of Pesach at the end, so on and so forth. Tvaram wants to know, but how about Sefiras HaOmer? We don't count double Sefiras HaOmer. Why is that? Right? We're used to thinking, we Chutzar Jews think, the second night of Yom Tov, you start counting Sefiras HaOmer. That's really false. You start counting Sefiras HaOmer the first night of Chol HaMoed. There's supposed to be 1 day of Yom Tov. The second night of Pesach is already Chol HaMoed. That's the night that they do the Ketziras HaOmer, and that's the night that you start Sefiras HaOmer. But Sveika D'Yoma means we treat both Thursday and Friday as though they were Tesvav. Okay. So why do we only start counting Thursday night? We should also start counting Friday night. Thursday night we count one. Friday night we count two or one. What's a Shabbos? Three or two. They're the two options. Which day is Pesach will drive which day is Sfeiras HaOmer. So how come we're not all counting Sveika D'Yoma? There Rishon already raised that question. Why don't we have Sveika D'Yoma on Sfeiras HaOmer? We have Sveika D'Yoma and everything else. It leads up to 2 days of Shavuos. So that works well. That's why we have 2 days of Shavuos. It corresponds to the two possible counts from Pesach. So why don't we count Sveika D'Yoma every night? There are different answers given to that. The Dvar Avraham has a remarkable one. He says, because when you have Sveika D'Yoma, he says, you know what they did during those centuries? They didn't count Sveiras HaOmer at all. They had two Sedarim. They kept 2 days Shmini Atzeres, but they didn't count Sveira. Not only didn't count a double, they didn't even count it single. The Dvar Avraham says they didn't count Sveiras HaOmer at all. He says because if you don't know what night it is, it doesn't help to count both. It's remarkable. He says if you're Masupik, whether tonight is four or five, is it? I'll count four. We'll see if it works out. Even if it turns out I was right, that's four. He says you're still wrong. Still not Yotze. Because it's not counting unless you're certain. He says to say tonight is four or five, or just to say tonight might be four, doesn't count. Even if you guess correctly, you're still not Yotze because that's not an act of Sfeiras HaOmer. Sfeiras HaOmer means counting with certainty. He says if you're not counting with certainty, that's not called counting. Mashallah Mahadavar Doma. How many people here have younger siblings? Raise your hand if you have a younger sibling at home. Gvaldik. So raise your hand if you have a younger sibling who's like three or four or five now. Okay. How many of you remember when your younger siblings were three or four or five? Okay, that's right. More hands, right? Good. So you remember like, I'm going to count. I can count to 100. 1, 2, 5, 7, 6, 13, 1100, 115, right? Been there, done that, right? So to count 1, 2, 4, 7, 9, that's not counting. To say it might be 4, it might be 5, that's not counting. You said words. You said numbers. You verbalized numbers. You did an amira, a recitation. But the Dvar Avraham says, but we're not just asked to say numbers. The mitzvah is to count. And to count, he suggests, means to count with certainty. So he has this remarkable suggestion that during those hundreds of years of Sveika D'Yoma, Jews in Sveika D'Yoma land, Jews who were in Bavel or in Turkey or in North Africa, didn't count Sveiras HaOmer at all. Not even Misafik. Why? Because it doesn't help to count Misafik because that's not called counting. So Bizman HaZeh, we now count because we don't actually have a Safik. But we're not going to, count with a Sveika D'Yoma. They, in the days of real Sveika D'Yoma, they didn't count at all. It's fascinating. And he says, if you have a Jew who's stuck, it doesn't know what day of Sfeiras HaOmer it is, don't bother counting. You're not Yotze anything if you don't know what day it is. It's not even worth guessing. Because even if you guess right, you're still not Yotze. You said the right number, but it's not an act of counting. As an aside, if you think about the Gemara, the Samach Vav, remember when we got started with this Gemara last week? It's a striking Gemara, like a teeny tiny piece of Gemara. There are some braces earlier by Sfeiras HaOmer, like we just quoted, Svartim Lachem, Sfeira Kalach Viecha, and Samachem Abez. But the actual Gemara about how to count Sfeiras HaOmer, it's tiny. And it's such a basic question of Yomei Ushavui versus Yomei Benat Shavui. Who's involved? Abaye, Amema, Rabban, Dever, Vashi. All later Amoram. Remember I told you, when was the Luach fixed? Rama points out, the Luach was fixed, Sanhedrin ended, and they had a fixed calendar starting the days of Abaye v'Rava. According to Dvar Avraham, the Gemara is beautiful. Rav and Shmuel didn't have the Shaila. certainly after they came to Bavel. Rav Nachman, Rav Pop, Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Rabba, Rav Yosef, all the Amoraim and Bavel who lived before the fixed calendar, while there was still a Sanhedrin, they never counted Sviras Homer. Can you imagine that? According to Avram, the holy Amora of Nachman, the holy Amora of Sheshas, the holy Amora of Rabba, they never in their lives counted Sviras Homer, because they had Sveikid Yoma. Just like we have never brought Karban Pesach. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. We never brought Karban Pesach because we have Beis HaMikdash. So there were Jews who lived in far-flung places who went their entire lives without a lulav and esrog. They never were able to get their hands on an esrog. So Rav Nachman, Rav Sheshes, Rabba, Rav Yosef never counted Sviras Omer, according to Dvar Avraham. So now you understand why they don't appear that. The Gemara of the Machlok is only later Amoram. Do you count days and weeks or just days? Yeah, it's Abaye and Amemar, Bandavei Rashi. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And now, Rabbi Osai, the Dvar Avraham also, in addition to give us this like a fascinating historical chiddush, that for several centuries, most of the Jewish population was not counting Sviras Omer, because you cannot count when you have a suffix. It just doesn't work, even if you guess the number right. The Dvar Avraham also, that's just like a mind-blowing chiddush. It also gives us a very powerful tool for putting this whole sugya together. Because what he's telling us is, Sviras Omer is not just a mitzvah to say the sentence, not just a mitzvah to say today is 17 days, 2 weeks and 3 days. No. It's not a mitzvah to say. It's the wrong verb. It's a mitzvah to count. Kriyas Shema is a mitzvah of kriya. It's a mitzvah of saying the Shema. Birkas HaMazon is a mitzvah to say Birkas HaMazon. But Sviras Omer is not a mitzvah to say Svira. It's a mitzvah to count. It's a different verb. You do use your mouth when you count. But it's not a mitzvah to recite, it's a mitzvah to count. And that can explain all of the phenomena we looked at. Not only does it explain why Sfira doesn't work misafik, it can also explain the two chidushim of the Magen Avraham, that you cannot be yotzei v'shomea ka'ona, and that it doesn't help to count in Hebrew if you don't understand the Hebrew. Because, let's work backwards, you don't understand the Hebrew, so, yeah, you recited. So for Megillah, for Birkas HaMazon, you said the words, Shkoyach. But here it's not a mitzvah of saying the words, it's a mitzvah of counting. If you don't know what you're saying, you're not counting. You're saying words, but you're not counting. And there are some other examples of that. Things that have to be said, but if you don't understand, it's worthless. Bittul of Chametz, Kol Chamira. What does it help to say in Aramaic or in Hebrew if you don't know what the words mean? It's not a mitzvah to say a certain text. It's a legally binding declaration of intent. If you don't know what you're talking about, what does it help? See, here too, it's not a mitzvah to say the text. It's a mitzvah to count. If there's no Havana, there's no counting. Or going back to the first chiddush of the Magen Avraham, Shomea Ka'ona. Shomea Ka'ona is Kilu, I said it, but I'm not counting. I have to count. It's not enough to say. I have to count. So these pieces are beginning to fall into place very smoothly. It's a mitzvah of counting, not a mitzvah of recitation. You count verbally, but it's a mitzvah to count. So that's why, working backwards, it's a mitzvah to count, so that's why it doesn't work misavik, even if you guess right. It's a mitzvah to count. That's why it doesn't work if you understand, even in Hebrew, unlike other verbal mitzvahs. That's why Shomei Ka'ona doesn't work, unlike other verbal mitzvahs. And finally, if it's a mitzvah to count, maybe that's what the Halachas Gedolos was saying, right? The Chinuch quoted, the solution to the Bahag is count what was going on yesterday, mention yesterday, and then count in Kol Yisrael. You look in the Be'er Halacha, they sound like they're even understanding that within the Bahag himself. But what does this all mean? What it all means, Rabbi Osai, is the first teretz to the Bahag, to Miyash the Bahag, is maybe the Bahag disagrees with the assumption that that 49 brachas means 49 mitzvahs. No, he holds it's one mitzvah. Unlike Tosfos, Bahag holds it's one mitzvah. The second approach to Rav is to say, who says the Bahag holds it's one mitzvah? Maybe he agrees, of course, there's 49 separate mitzvahs. He disagrees with the other premise. You told me that what? You told me that because it's 49, that if it's 49 separate mitzvahs, miss a day still continue. Like lulav, you miss a day of lulav, still shake lulav the next day. No, but it's a mitzvah of counting. Tamimos, meaning what we said before. 1, 2, 4, 7, 9, that's not counting. Counting means consecutive. Counting means with certainty. Counting means you understand. Counting means you do it yourself. And counting means consecutive. If it's non-consecutive, so then you have it. It's not pshat that's one big mitzvah. Every night's a new mitzvah. But I can't continue counting. If I missed, two nafkaminas in that. Number one is what the Sefer Chinuch said. Maybe you can patch. If I missed 16 and now it's 17, I could say yesterday was 16. I'm not yotze counting yesterday. That's below bracha, but I'm sort of patching together the continuity. I had counted every night through 15, then I forgot last night. So I'll say, look, last night was 16. Baruch atah Hashem, say the bracha. Tonight is 17, because the point is not that I'm being mekayim counting 16, but I'm at least continuing the I'm creating the continuity. So we can keep going. The other nafkamina, if you understand that what the Bahag is saying is of course every night's a new mitzvah, but if you miss a night, you're out because of lack of consecutiveness. So I'm going to leave you with two things to think about for tomorrow. One is, Mishnah Brewer raises a question. If a Jew knows that he's likely to not make it through to the end of Sfiras Omer, so maybe he shouldn't even start counting with a bracha. Bracha l'atal, you know you're not going to finish. I'll say it often works out they don't finish. Or let's say a fellow knows he has elective surgery. He has a surgery, or non-elective surgery, as the case may be. His surgery is scheduled for during Sfiras Omer. He knows he's going to miss a chunk of time. He knows he's not going to be conscious for more than for a period of time, for a day or two. He knows in advance. Should he bother counting with the bracha beforehand? L'chora not, right? Or the famous discussion that every bar mitzvah pshetel this season. You start Sfiras Omer as a katan, you became a gadol mil Sfiras Omer. Can you continue counting with the bracha? Does the counting as a katan count, towards the gadol? Or do you say no? From the perspective of gadol, he didn't start counting till tonight, so there's no. There's no sphere, you can't make a bracha. According to the Bahag, you're not yotze. So all those questions where I anticipate I may fall out in the middle of sphere somewhere, or I know that I'm going to miss a day or two in the middle of sphere somewhere, I'll be honest. Or katan shen is gadel, ger shen is gayer. Can you make a bracha in all these situations or not? All of these change with this new understanding of the Bahag. I'd like you to think about that overnight, and we'll reconvene tomorrow to review this new approach to Bahag and add in those final nafkamis and put all the pieces together. I both say thank you so much. There's plenty more to talk about. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow we're going to bring completion to the sugya.